Book of Jeremiah tonight, Book of Jeremiah chapter 23, if you would please. Book of Jeremiah chapter 23. I thought several times this week about a man who was a professed atheist, made many remarks about Christians and how they had poor judgment and so forth. And he passed away this last week. And yes, he knows the realities now. But what a shame. How we need to reach people before they get to that particular spot. How we need that so desperately. Book of Jeremiah chapter 23. I want to read the first four verses. Says, woe unto you, woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds. And they shall be fruitful and increase, and I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today for just a wonderful privilege to be in the house of the Lord with your people. And what a blessing it is to sing the old songs and to hear the testimonies tonight. What a blessing. I pray you might work in our hearts now as we look to your word in Christ's name. Amen. The text that we just read here tonight, I believe, reveals through its revelation of judgment what a pastor is and what he is to do. I realize this is Old Testament, but I believe the application can be made into our day and time. We find that a pastor or a shepherd, if you please, seeks to keep the flock together and to nourish them. We notice that here where they scattered them, and they didn't visit them. And basically, that's a term that, if you look at the rest of that verse, is dealing with judgment, not visiting with your judgment, but the realization of the judgment of God, and nourishing them. And if we take this in the spiritual matter, let me tell you this. I know this from experience. It is very difficult work to show people the marvelous truth of God, to seek for them to understand the Word of God, and to keep that flock together. Because our tendency as sheep is to wander. Our tendency is to, like the old cow that's got her head stretched across the barbed wire fence, eating the grass on the other side that's no shorter than that which is on her own side of the fence. And we become a people like that so very often. Now, there's something unusual when you come into the pastorate as opposed to so many different organizations. Take the work world, for instance. And in the business world, we find that the boss, if you please, can make demands, give directions, say, this is what I want to be done. And as a result of that, you receive a paycheck. And so they're going to do it. They might get something out of it. Did you realize that a pastor has the same crew, but he has not that ability to pay them for it? It's a voluntary crew that often actually ends up second-guessing him. And so there's some difficulties in the matter of pastoring. By the way, I'm not complaining. I'm just telling you some truths out there. There's a fine line in this particular position of demanding and helping them to see that it's for their benefit. There's a fine line there. And sometimes people think, well, they're being demanding, when in reality it is, hey, it's out of my heart to your heart, saying, hey, this will be beneficial to you. It's very difficult to know the difference between driving the sheep and leading them. In the Old West, we had the cowboys. What did they do? They drove the cattle. They got behind them. They whooped and hollered and waved their ropes and their hats and whatever else, and they could keep them going by driving them. You cannot do that with sheep. If you try to drive a sheep, he's going to go off in one direction different than what you want. And you just can't do that. Well, sheep, they must be led. It's just a definite thing. There's only one that I believe knows how to drive sheep. And it's interesting, I remember talking to Al Wells about this a great deal. He said, your job as pastor, your job is to lead them. It's my job to bark at their heels when they're going off in the wrong direction. How many have ever watched a sheepdog working? Have you ever watched that? If you've not done that, go to the state fair sometimes and go. There's a big pavilion there, and they have trials between those, and of course they come out with first place and second and all that business. But it's amazing to watch those dogs. The shepherd stands in one place, and either with a whistle or with his voice tells that dog where he wants those sheep. And the only way you can drive a sheep is you're on this side when he turns his head that way, and he's on that side when he turns his head that way. And so he's very busy. He's very much so. But the picture is this. The shepherd is going down. He's leading the sheep, and those dogs are back there keeping them going. Okay? And just a beautiful picture in my own heart and mind. But a shepherd needs to learn. He is not the sheepdog. He is not a driver, but he is a leader of the sheep. The sheep. Gets you guys in the wrong area of the world, all right? Our text notes shepherds that became drivers rather than leaders. If you notice verse number 2, he says, therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock, and what? Driven them away, and have not visited them. In other words, you've not tried to take care of their needs. And he says, as a result, I'm going to visit you, and I'm going to bring judgment upon you. And this is a very serious charge that God brings upon these men he calls pastors when he says, I will visit you, the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. Most men of God that I know prefer the title of pastor. I like that title because of the connotation of what's in my heart and mind from the days when I was a boy, and we had sheep, and we could see them following certain people, and certain they would follow my horse anywhere. And it was just a neat thing to see. You couldn't drive them, but you would lead them. And so is that title of pastor, not one that's mean, not one that's, got the whip out, but one who's simply out in front leading. There's a couple of other titles that I find that are used in the Word of God. One of those titles is the title of bishop. It's interesting, that word is not used too often, but 4 times in the Word of God we find it. I'm not going to go to these, but if you just take my word for it tonight. I would prefer that you not call me bishop. I'd prefer that you not call me pope or cardinal or any of those. I don't know where they get all those titles. But there is that term of bishop. There's another term that I find used in the Bible 194 times, and that term is elder. Approximately 85 times is used in the New Testament. And the majority of the uses we find is referring to one's age and their status within that society. You go back to the Old Testament especially, you find that word used many times as the different leaders would depend upon the elders to help them in the work that was there. In the New Testament, we find that it takes on a little bit different meaning. In chapter number 11, verse number 30, the book of Acts says, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. And really here, not referring to the aged of Israel, but to those within that church. And we find it also in Acts chapter 14, they were placed on somewhat of a similar position with the apostles. Listen to these words. Acts 14:22, it says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And so here were men who were actually ordained. In other words, they were given this charge. This is what you are to do. We find from the Word of God that there's different things that certainly they are to do. In the book of 1 Timothy, we find that the elders are to rule. Interesting. So to let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Double honor there, by the way, is referring to what is given to them, or in other words, what we might call the paycheck. And God's telling us here that there's something very, very important about that position. We find when Peter is used of God to write under inspiration, he says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering Christ, and also," he says, "a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Then he says this, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind." And so here we have instructions as to what that elder does. Feed the flock of God. There must be an oversight. In other words, there's direction that is given. And it's not by constraint. It's willingly. Willingly by the pastor, willingly by the people, I believe as well. Not for filthy lucre, which is money, but of a ready mind, desirous to accomplish the job. And then he says, "Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock." So when you are a leader, you're out in front and people see and they follow after that. My question tonight is, and perhaps could be your question, is how can one be beneficial to his or her pastor? The reason for all of those thoughts was, hey, listen, this preacher, along with any other who stands in the pulpit of God and is the leader of the church, he needs help. And you could say amen there, and I wouldn't be offended by that. We need help. And I believe there's two or three areas I try to explain to you tonight, and I hope it'll be of help to you. Number one, there must be a recognition of the office. When we come to the United States of America and we look at the President of the United States, sometimes we don't like the guy who's in the position, but he's still got the office. Even though I did not, please forgive me, or maybe not, I don't know, I did not care for Barack Obama one inch. I felt like he was really a hindrance to our nation. And yet at the same time, he was our president. He was the commander-in-chief. And it's the position that he held. God, by the way, places us in certain positions. And so we're talking about the position that God has placed that man into. Leadership, as we mentioned a moment ago, is out in front, guiding to a specific goal. I believe that goal is to lead the lambs to maturity, that they might become sheep. And as sheep then, that they might reproduce more lambs. That's the exciting part of it. Thus the goal is to get the sheep to know that life isn't just about their needs and desires, but it's about becoming productive in the matter of reaching other people, that they can become, what, lambs of God. That's our responsibility. And we have people all over. I appreciate the testimony tonight that Bill made about Patty. We have so many areas like that that could be in our favor if we will just stop and look at it. The opportunities are marvelous. They are unending if we'll take them and use them. I know a lady right now. She's in the state of Illinois. She helped start deaf ministries with her husband for years and years. Phyllis Gaggs is her name. And she's not in good shape whatsoever. She's in a kind of a rest home apartment type style living area. And she leaves her door open. There's a hallway out there, and she leaves the door open. And she sits in her chair so she can see whoever goes by. Anybody goes by, she invites them to come in. If they come in, there's going to be some story told to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you knew Phyllis Gaggs, you'd understand she's not being pushy. She's excited about it. And they get excited too, and she wins in Christ. Nobody's walking by. She picks up her telephone, just starts calling. I'm not sure if she goes through the phone book or she just starts calling 516 and 517. I don't know how she does it, but that's the way she is. Because she is cognizant of the fact there are folks out there who need the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And wherever you go, there are people like that. I was amazed. Honestly, I was totally amazed at how often I had the opportunity while I was in the hospital, laying flat on my back in weakness and sometimes in pain, and yet there would be those who walk in and just, you know, start talking to them about the Lord. It's just marvelous. Today, my testimony is most of the time is I'm so thankful for the grace of God. I believe last year was the greatest year of my life. You say, really? Yeah, I believe that because I got to see the grace of God working. And so I tell folks that. And while they're sitting there in the steam room with me and looking at these scars on me, thinking, you got to be joking. No, it's a very real thing. And we have that tremendous privilege if we will take it. So what's the position of the pastor? What are we doing with this guy called an elder? Recognizing the office and realizing he's seeking to bring you to a specific goal. And that is the goal of reproduction. To bring others into the fold, if you please. How can you be beneficial? Not only recognize his office, but I think also understand your opportunity. Understand your opportunity. I'm going to put this in terms of feeding cattle. You go out and you cut the hay, you bale it up, and then you bring it into them. You put it in a storage bin, but then you bring it out every day that they might have enough to eat through those times when the grass is not growing. And so a pastor takes the crops, he bales it all up, he brings it to you, but there's something you cannot make anybody do. And that is make you eat. We need to understand the opportunity that God gives us. Listen, you can bring a sheep in and you can place him between your knees and you can realize he's got some problem in his ears and there's some mites within there. You can get out the oil and you can pour it into his ears and he has a choice to make. He can buck and shake his head and knock it all out. Or he can receive it in its wonderful healing power. Understand the opportunities that are ours. So often we just make light of all these kinds of things when in fact God has something for us. Do you know that every service you walk into, every Sunday school class you get into, there is something that God has for you there. It might not be what's really on the mind of the pastor or the teacher, but it's on the mind of God, and he's going to do that in our lives if we will understand the opportunity that's laid before us. I think about another area in this, and I go to the Psalm 23, and it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Oftentimes, preachers use that in dealing with people at a funeral. But that's not talking about a funeral service. That's talking about walking through the valley as he's taking them up the mountainside to go up to where the feeding is very good in the summertime. And on those cliffs looking down are the varmints that are seeking to get those sheep. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Who's he talking about? He's talking about, of course, the Lord there, but it's also a picture of what a pastor has to do. And he's there for your protection, seeking to help in those areas. By the way, many times that's warnings. Telling you, watch out for this, watch out for that. And how we need to do that. Understand that opportunity that's placed before you. And then the last thing I'd like to mention tonight, as I think about these verses and the thoughts that run through my mind the last couple of days, remove the obstacles. How can you help your pastor recognize his office, understand your opportunity as he lays it out before you, and then remove the obstacles? In the book of Acts, I'm going to turn there, chapter number 6. Book of Acts, chapter number 6. Interesting, as we notice something that takes place in this chapter. In verse number 1 says, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. What was going on? They were complaining. They were complaining. And it says, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. So we got complaints going on. Then the 12 called the multitude of disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. There are obstacles that are in the ministry. I believe it's the job of God's people to help remove those obstacles. When Nehemiah came to Jerusalem and wanted to rebuild the walls, he found there was much rubbish there, many obstacles to overcome. Some of those were on the outside of the wall, some of those were on the inside of the wall. And there are obstacles that are there. And what did they need to do? They needed to remove those and get them out of the way that they might build the wall. And I just simply say this, and I appreciate that I've enjoyed this, but your pastor needs to have the tools and the time to be in prayer and in the Word of God. Chad tonight, he asked all of us who gather together for prayer, why do we pray? Why do we pray? I always a great question, and it's very simply this, because we need something. Prayer sees the tremendous needs of the sheep. And so as a shepherd, as I look out amongst the sheep that God has given to me, I find a responsibility to be in prayer. I believe that responsibility goes much deeper than seeking the healing of a hangnail. That was in my notes. I don't know why I read that. And it goes far beyond those things, but right down to the depths of the soul. In other words, we see more than the sicknesses, or we ought to, but the anxiety and the fears that go with that, and all that comes with the onslaught of physical ailments, with problems on the job, problems within the family, all these things. And what do we need? We need prayed for, amen? And how marvelous it is when we have that kind of time to be able to pray as we ought to. He also knows the need of every life lie within the boundaries of the Scriptures. And it takes time to repair meals that will meet the palate of each sheep. It takes a great deal of thought. It takes a great deal of actually prayer. And certainly comparing Scripture with Scripture that you might bring forth that which is going to be available or helpful to those that are there. And so we need to help in removing those obstacles, things that are going to slow him down in that particular area. And may I say this with it, don't be an obstacle with complaints about his shepherding unless you do it biblically. You know, a lot of folks want to whine and complain about leadership. They do it on the job. If any of you are a foreman or the leader in a group or whatever, everybody who works with you or whatever, they think that they know better than you do. It's a common malady of mankind. The Bible's very specific. It says, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. And do we do things wrong? Yeah, we do. But when we sit around and whine and complain, it does not help the situation. And we'll be complaining about the devil, amen, how he seeks to destroy. What's my job? What's the job of anybody who stands in this pulpit and leads this church? What's the responsibility? It's a matter of leading. And it's a matter of taking in a direction that's going to bring praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's helping people to mature in him that they might produce lambs. That they might be reproducing that of their own kind. If you're a teenager tonight, God wants you to reach some teenagers. There's teenagers that you know that nobody else knows. And if you don't talk to them, nobody else will. I like this week what I heard when there was all the walkout stuff with teenagers. By the way, if you're going to eat Tide Pods, don't talk to me about guns. Who started me on that one? But seriously, there are teenagers out there that you can reach. There really is. And you might say, well, I don't know any. Well, get to know them. And a lot of these people, as they have been shooting people, is because there were teenagers that laughed at and mocked rather than going up to, rather than going out of school, why don't we step up to the people and befriend them? Amen? That's a necessary thing. But God wants to use you. Adults, God wants to use you. There are people who work with you. We had one testimony tonight. There are people who work with you. And if you're living right and all those things, you know, questions begin to come to their mind. And even as Jan said, in our society, they don't want you talking about God in the workplace. But if somebody asks you, it's wide open country. Really is. And so there's always opportunities that are there. It's amazing what we can do if we'll open our eyes to all the things that are there. You say, well, I'm a stay-at-home person. How many delivery people come to your house? It's amazing when we stop and start thinking about it. The people who show up. And even family and friends, some of those are not saved. And we don't take the opportunities. We're not reproducing. What's the primary goal? That you might mature enough that you can have babies. Amen? And so we might be able to, what, be a testimony of those around about us. There are hundreds of people in this town that need Christ. Would you agree with that? Yeah, some of them live next door to us. And how they need the Lord Jesus. Well, let's have a word of prayer tonight. If God has spoken to your heart in any way as we close that prayer and she comes to the piano, just make your way down here. You might pray by yourself or maybe with somebody if you need. Father, tonight, thank you so much for the privilege that you've given me to pastor. And Lord, I thank you for people to pastor. And I thank you, oh God, for the privilege that we have to serve you. Lord, help us to remember, though, it's a matter of maturing that we might be reproductive in our lives. Lord, I pray that you might open our hearts and our minds to that. And so often we get delayed, we get off course, we get out of kilter, we begin to see faults and fallacies and don't keep our eyes on the big picture. Lord God, I pray that you might work in that and that we might be focused upon that which you're focused upon, and that is loving people to the Lord Jesus. Bless in these moments, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.